75 years, the story of jazz has been written in the grooves of Blue Note Records.
Blue Note was a company. That was the hottest company, and they were not joking.
Hammond B3 organist Dr. Lonnie Smith started recording for Blue Note in 1967.
Blue Note has a history. It's a legacy. It's just like the Empire State Building. It's a monument.
And for a younger generation of musicians, like pianist Robert Glasper, who crosses freely between jazz and hip-hop, signing with Blue Note is proof that you've made it.
I got a call in the morning like, hey, if you want to be a Blue Note recording artist? I was like, yeah! It was amazing when you consider all the lineage. It was surreal to me.
That lineage includes everyone from Sidney Bechet to Art Blakey, Bud Powell, John Coltrane, and Horace Silver. From swing through bebop and hard bop, fusion and avant-garde jazz, and now all the way up to Nora Jones and Jose James, Blue Note Records is celebrating its 75th anniversary by remastering and releasing on vinyl some old gems from the catalog, like Wayne Shorter's Speak No Evil.
This is some of the greatest music this country's produced.
Jazz historian Larry Applebaum with the Library of Congress.
There's a reason why these recordings get reissued over and over and over. Most of them never go out of print. People still want them. They're still hungry for these kind of stories, the musical stories that are found in these recordings.
We're listening to the very first Blue Note recording, Albert Ammons and Mead Lux Lewis, recorded in New York in 1939. The label was founded by an immigrant named Alfred Lion, who had fled Nazi Germany. Actually, the roots go even deeper. Lion had first heard jazz as a teenager in Berlin, Sam Wooding and his orchestra, music that got into his bones.
And he said that just hit him like a ton of bricks. He heard something that just aroused his passion.
In New York, Alfred Lion was soon joined by his friend and fellow German refugee, Francis Wolff, and together they did things differently at Blue Note. They paid not just for the recording session, but also for rehearsals. That was unheard of. Larry Applebaum says while other labels stiffed artists on royalties, Blue Note paid them what they were owed. They encouraged original composition, not just a rehash of jazz standards. And Applebaum says Blue Note took risks. In 1947, they took a gamble on a pianist who was widely dismissed as untrained with unconventional technique. His name? Thelonious Monk.
Blue Note was the first to take the chance and the risk to record him as a leader. And not only did they record him as a leader, but they called the recording the genius of modern music. That's bold. That shows a belief that Alfred Lion and Frank Wolff had in Thelonious Monk. And, of course, history has borne that out.
For the last 2 years, Blue Note has been in the hands of Don Was.
To be the president of Blue Note Records is, it's really deep, you know? It's kind of like saying, yeah, I'm the bass player in the Rolling Stones.
And that allusion reveals a lot about where Blue Note is today. Don Was made his name in the dance pop band Was Not Was in the 80s. He went on to produce albums for everyone from the Rolling Stones to Elton John to Bonnie Raitt. But back in 1966 in Oak Park, Michigan, he was a teenager in his mom's car listening to a jazz station by accident, WCHD.
And the first thing I heard was a song called Mode for Joe by Joe Henderson. There's something about when his solo kicks in and he does these kind of animal cries. There's that, right there. I'd never really heard anything quite like it. I don't really have the words to describe the emotional foundation of what Joe Henderson was playing, but I could sure feel it.
You you could feel it and you could hold it in your hand. The Blue Note album had a distinctive look as well as sound. The jackets were works of art. Moody black and white photographs of the musicians taken by Francis Wolfe. Bold graphic design by Reed Miles.
I'd look at those pictures and there were these guys sitting in this room that you couldn't see the walls. It was all black and there was smoke and saxophones and cool clothes. And I just wanted to be like these guys. I wanted to be in that room.
Now Don Was is in that room, and he's committed to signing artists to Blue Note from outside the jazz world. Those changes don't always sit well with musicians from the old school. Listen to 87-year-old saxophonist Lou Donaldson during his set at a concert for the Blue Note anniversary this month at the Kennedy Center in Washington.
Now this band, we play music straight ahead. You'll hear different kind of music on Blue Note Records, but this is the straight-ahead set. No fusion, no confusion. No Kenny G, no Najee, no Spira Gyra, no Heavy D, no Snoop Doggy Dog, no 50 Cent, who's not worth a quarter. Straight-ahead music.
But to those who say that new artists and genres have diluted the Blue Note brand, Don Was says change is good.
In this kind of music, change is part of the DNA. You're supposed to play the music differently every night. You're not supposed to repeat yourself. You're always supposed to be pushing the threshold. And the history of Blue Note Records is one of kind of revolutionary change in music.
He ticks through the revolutionaries in Blue Note's roster. The boundary-pushing Thelonious Monk, Art Blakey with his wildly propulsive swing, Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter with their intricate post-bop innovations.
We got to continue to do that. Now, Van Morrison is an artist who is currently on Blue Note, and when he steps up to the microphone and sings, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between that and Wayne Shorter stepping up to the microphone and playing. You know, they're soulful, and they're just laying it out there, and it's deep, comes from the heart.
So genre, you'd say, doesn't matter. Would there be any type of music, if it were great music, but just a different genre, that would not belong on Blue Note?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I've never said no to something because it's the wrong genre. I've said no to stuff, a lot of stuff, because I didn't feel anything when I heard it.
That's Don Was, the president of Blue Note Records, celebrating its 75th anniversary this year. You can hear the entire Kennedy Center concert I mentioned, including this performance by Nora Jones, at nprmusic.org.
That excites me. That thrills and